الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى أن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مات وعليه الصيام صام عنه وليه قال رحمه الله وأخرجه أبو داود وقال هذا في النذر وهو قول أحمد بن حنبل رضي الله عنه. So the author he mentioned the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها clarifying the issue of the one who passes away, the one who dies while he has days of obligatory fast to make up. While he has days of obligatory fast to make up, and that it is recommended for his loved ones, specifically those who would inherit from him, to fulfill that obligation for him and to fast on his behalf after his death. So she says, radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever died and he has wa alayhi siyam, and he has days to make up, obligatory days, and he has obligatory days of fasting to make up, then his wali should fast on behalf of him. Then his wali should fast on behalf of him. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that what is intended from the wali, yani qaribahu, wal-warithu lahu, yani bil-akhas, that is his relative, yani his near relative. And from the one that is most specific or more rightful is his relative, his relatives that would inherit from him. That would inherit from him. And they're the ones who are most rightful to fulfill this right for him and to fast on behalf of him. So this is what is intended here. And the author, he says, and also it has been narrated by Abu Dawood, this narration as well. And he mentioned, rahimahullah, that this is with regards to the fast, the obligatory fast that is because of an oath. That is because of an oath that one made. And this is the understanding of Abu Dawood, rahimahullah. And he mentioned likewise that this is the position of Al-Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is one position with regards to this affair, that this is related to the obligatory fast that was upon a person because of an oath that one made. But Allah knows best. What is included here is every obligatory fast, whether it was because of an oath that one made, or whether it was because of missing days from Ramadan, or whether it was because of a kafara that one had upon him, binding upon him, that he was not able to fulfill in his lifetime, and the likes. All of this would be included. All of this would be included. And Allah knows best. What is intended here is that it is recommended. That is recommended and not an obligation. Also, what is intended here is the one who had days to make up from an obligatory fast. Again, regardless if those days were obligatory days to make up from Ramadan, from the previous Ramadan that has passed, or because of an expiation that he owes, or because of an oath that he made. In any case, what is intended here, those who have an obligation fast to make up and they were not able to fast those days while they had the ability to do that. While they had the ability to do that and then they died. For example, somebody who was sick in Ramadan and he broke his fast in some days from Ramadan, he had days to make up. And then after Ramadan, his sickness was cured and he had the ability to make up those days, but he did not make them up until he died. This is the one that is intended here. It's recommended for his relatives, specifically those who are from the inheritors of this individual, to make up that day or to make up those days on behalf of that person. As for somebody who broke his fast in the daytime of Ramadan because of a sickness, and that sickness continued with him until he died, this is not intended here. It's not recommended to fast on his behalf. Rather, his excuse, yani, continued with him until he died, and he was never, yani, considered from those who would have to make up those days. So making up the days would only be upon a person whenever the excuse is gone or removed or goes away. So as for the one who is excused continued with him until he died, then a person's relative will not make up those days for him. it will be only for the person who had broke his fast in the daytime of Ramadan and he had days to make up after that, and then he had the ability to make those days up, but he did not yet fulfill that. So to fast on his behalf, this is what is intended here. To fast on his behalf, this is what is intended here. So some of the people of knowledge have mentioned it's an obligation, but Allah knows best it's not an obligation. But Allah knows best it's not an obligation, rather it's something that is recommended. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, وَلَا تَزِيرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, that a person, he will not bear the sin of another. That a person, he will not bear the sin of another. So if this person was not able to fast, and then it was considered incumbent and an obligation for his relatives to fast on his behalf after his death, if they were to not fulfill that, then they would be considered sinning. If they were not to fulfill that, and if they were not to fast on his behalf, and it was an obligation, then now they would be falling into sin because of this. They would be falling into sin because of somebody else's negligence or somebody else's obligation. And this is not correct. And this is not correct. So therefore, it's not an obligation. This is from the evidences that clarify that. Rather, it is recommended. Also, the mention of the wadi, yani the warith, or the qareeb, this is yani in general, but it's also allowed for somebody other than his relatives. If they were to fast on his behalf, for example, if he had a companion, or someone that was not necessarily from his relatives that wanted to fast on behalf of him, this is allowed. This is allowed because the issue here is like a debt. The issue here is like a debt, and this will be clarified in the narrations after this. The author, he mentions, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And it's like a debt. It's like a debt that he owes. A debt any that he must repay for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So however that is paid back, it would suffice, and the obligation will be fulfilled in this manner, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he says, عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أمي ماتت وعليها صوم شهر أفأقضيه عنها. So the author, he mentioned now the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, that a man, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily my mother, she has died. Verily, my mother died, and she had a month's fast to make up. That verily, my mother died, and she had a month's fast to make up. Should I make it up on her behalf? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَوْ كَانَ عَلَى أُمِّكَ دَيْنٌ أَكُنْتَ قَاضِيَهُ عَنْهَا قَالَ نَعَمْ قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُقْضَى فَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُقْضَى. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the man, if your mother had a debt, meaning a financial debt, and after she had passed away, would you pay that back for her? And he said yes, I would pay that back for her. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, so the debt with regards to the right of Allah is more rightful to be paid back. The debt of Allah is more rightful to be paid back. The debt of Allah, yani حَقُّ اللَّهِ الْوَاجِبُ لَهُ, yani this is the obligation that is the right to be of Allah to be performed. So this debt here, it has more right to be paid back. So after this, he says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ, and also in another wording, جَاءَتْ مَرَأَةٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَتْ يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أمي ماتت وعليها صوم نذر أفأصوم عنها فقال أرأيت لو كان على أمك دين فقضيتيه أكان يؤدي ذلك عنها قالت نعم قال فصومي عن أمك. So in this other wording also of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, A woman, she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily my mother passed, and she had an obligatory fast because of an oath that she made to perform, you need to make up. She had an obligatory fast to make because of an oath that she made. Should I fast on her behalf? And should I make up that fast on her behalf? So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your mother had a debt, would you pay it for her? If your mother had a date, had a debt, and you paid it for her, would that suffice? And would that suffice and cover her debt on her behalf? And so she said, yes, it would cover the debt. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then fast on behalf of your mother. Then fast on behalf of your mother. So it's the second wording here that the nadr, the oath, is mentioned specifically. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that this is in this certain circumstance, yani, that is with regards to this circumstance specifically, not in every fast. But Allah knows best. This is just one aspect of that. And that which is mentioned in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha is very general. Man mata wa alayhi siyam, sama'anhu waliyuhu. Whoever died, what he had, alayhi, yani, this is from the words of al-wujub. Likewise, alayhi, this is from the words of wujub. Wa alayhi siyam, yani, wa kana wajiban alayhi siyam. He had an obligatory fast to perform. Sama'anhu waliyuhu, then his relative will fast on his behalf. So this is very general. So from the detailed circumstances of that is the one who has an oath. The one who has an oath. But likewise included in that as well is the one who has to pay a kafara. And also the one who has days to make up from Ramadan previously, from one who traveled or one who was sick, or because of a woman on her menses and the likes like this. Or the one who was breastfeeding or pregnant. They would have days to make up. So therefore, these are all also included. So what is intended here is anyone who has an obligatory fast to make up. And they were not able to make that up in their lifetime, and they died, and in the manner that had preceded, and if they had died after having the ability to do that but did not yet do it, then this is the one that one will fast on behalf of them. So this is the one that one will fast on behalf of them. So here in the first wording of the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't ask. The man, he said, إِنَّ أُمِّي مَاتَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا صَوْمُ شَهْرٍ أَفَأَقْضِيهِ أَنْهَا. Verily my mother, she passed, she died, and she had a month's worth of fasting to make up. Should I make it up for her? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, oh, was this for because of an oath, or was it because of missing days from Ramadan, or was it because of a kafara, an expiation? So the fact that he did not seek details in this situation here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an indication that what is intended is the general understanding. So tarakul istifsal yunazzalu manzilat al-umum fi al-maqal. Tarakul istifsal, this is a principle that people of knowledge, they mention. Tarakul al-istifsal yunazzalu manzilat al-umum. يُنَزَّلُ مَنْزِلَةَ الْعُمُومِ فِي الْمَقَالِ. So this is an example of that. The fact that if what was intended here specifically was a fast that was made obligatory upon someone because of an oath that they made, and the other obligatory fasts are not included, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have sought details here to clarify that. But the fact that the details were not sought is an indication that the general understanding is the general ruling is understood. The general ruling is understood. So this is the case here. So anyone who died and he had days to make up from fasting, then and he was able to actually make up those days, but he did not get the opportunity to do that before he died, then this is the one that is recommended for his relatives to fast on his behalf, and that will suffice him. And that will suffice him and remove that responsibility. So in these narrations we see here that the diligence of the companions to seek knowledge and to learn in order to be upon clarity and upon insight and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner that is correct. So whenever a person is in a circumstance or situation and he's not certain of the Islamic ruling and the sunnah with regards to that affair, then he will ask the people who know. And he will seek guidance in that, and he will not just proceed upon ignorance or upon what he thinks or what he likes and the likes like this. And many times those who move or speak upon ignorance or uncertainty in the affairs of the religion, they make mistakes. They will fall into innovations, or they will fall into misguidance, or they will fall into error. And then it'll be a problem for them after that. They'll find themselves in a circumstance or situation that is not praiseworthy. That is not praiseworthy. But if they ask and they get clarification and details in their circumstance and then proceed upon knowledge and light and insight, then the outcome for them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will be praiseworthy. It will be praiseworthy and good. So likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration is the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is how he would strike examples sometimes to clarify the issues for the people to understand them clearly. And making the example here of the one who has days to make up, comparing that to a debt that somebody has. So the debt, it will either be with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, or it will be with regards to the rights of the people. So to make a similarity between, or a comparison, to make a comparison or similarity between the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and the rights of the creation, and the fact that they must be performed like this, this is from the beautiful teaching. And also this is from the proofs and evidences of the authenticity of the qiyas. The qiyas. And in qiyas, dalilun shar'iyun. يعني في إثبات الأحكام القياس الصحيح بشروطه. That the qiyas and the analogy, making analogies in the proper manner with its correct conditions and in the legislation, is a type of evidence, or a type or a means of establishing evidence. So we have the Quran, and we have the Sunnah, and we have the Ijma', and then we have al-qiyas al-sahih. Al-qiyas al-sahih is the correct analogy, and this is an evidence for that. This is an evidence for that, and that this qiyas was established in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sunnah. So this is the issues with regards to the one who passed, what he had days to make up obligatory fasting, and he days to make up of obligatory fast and did not yet have the opportunity to make them. After this, the author, he says, عن سهل بن سعد السائدي رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر. So the author now, he mentions the narration of سهل بن سعد السائدي رضي الله عنه, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the people will remain upon goodness so long as they hasten to break the fast. So long as they hasten to break the fast. So this is from the beauty of Al-Islam likewise, and from the ease in the religion, and from the mercy of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, that a believer, he would hasten to break the fast. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged the believers to hasten to break the fast, and that they should not delay. And that they should not delay. Rather, they should fast the period that is prescribed only, and from the ends of the day, just as Allah, he has mentioned about this affair. فَكُولُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا السِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. So this is the period of fasting, from the time of the rising of the fajr, whenever it becomes clear, until the night time. And what is intended until the night time is clarified in the likes of these narrations here, meaning until the sun goes behind the horizon entirely. Meaning until the sun goes behind the horizon entirely. So this is the period of fasting. So the one who takes the suhoor early, then he's adding into that time. He's adding into that period. This is why it's not recommended. Whether it's recommended from the sunnah, as we have seen, to delay the suhoor all the way to the last moments. Meaning that a person, he will only be fasting the period that's prescribed. And he will not add to that. Not from the beginning and not from the end likewise. And that's what this narration is clarifying as well. In the end of the day, he will not delay. He will not delay longer than what is needed. Rather, he is encouraged to hasten to break the fast as soon as he's certain that the sun has gone behind the horizon. As soon as he's certain that the sun has gone behind the horizon, meaning that the Maghrib has came. Meaning that the Maghrib has came. So this is what is intended here. Not to hasten to break the fast before that. Not hastening to break the fast, meaning just breaking the fast prematurely. Rather, there is a great threat with regards to that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw individuals, and he saw individuals in the hellfire. They were shown to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam mu'allaqina bi araqibihim, and they're hanging upside down from their feet, and their tasiru ashdaquhum daman, مشدقتان أشداقهم تسير أشداقهم دما, that their mouths are split open and their mouths are bleeding. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, who are they? And it was mentioned to him صلى الله عليه وسلم that هم الذين يفطرون قبل تحلة صومهم, that they're the ones who are breaking their fast before the proper time. They're the ones who are breaking the fast before the time that is allowed. And so this is an indication it's a major sin. So to pay attention here, that hastening to break the fast, meaning once the time has come. Once the time has come, not before that. Not before that. Once the time has come, that time is announced or known, either by a person who will see that or a person who will hear the information from somebody who saw that, and he saw the sun go behind the horizon, and he will see it himself, or it will be he will be informed of that from somebody who is reliable. Or likewise, what we have in these days are the times on the prayer schedules, are the times on the prayer schedule. So a person, he will follow that. So whenever that time comes, this is the time that he will not delay beyond that. Whenever the time comes, this is the time that he will not delay beyond that. And he will not also break his fast before that. And he will also not break his fast before that. Before that. So this is from the goodness of the Ummah. And in following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's goodness. And also this is mercy and kindness in the legislation. And kindness in the legislation. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسِ بِخَيْرٍ مَا عَجَّلُوا الْفِطْرِ. So the people, they will remain upon goodness so long as they hasten to break the fast. So we see that those people who do not hasten to break the fast, rather they delay it. They delay it 5 minutes or 10 minutes after that time that is known. They delay it 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or some of them even longer than that. Some of them even longer than that, and they say ihtiyatan, for example, just in case, or just to make sure. And the likes like these people here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying there's no good in them. There's no good in them. There's no blessing in that. This is not from the good way. Rather, the good way is to hold fast to the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to follow his sunan in laws and legal ways. To follow his sunan and laws and legal ways. And from that is this affair here. And in doing that, a person, he will have mercy. He will have mercy that the messenger he was sent with sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, he says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for as a mercy to mankind. So that mercy is for those who believe in him and follow him and take him as a role model. Those who believe in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow him and take him as a role model, they will have a vast portion of that mercy by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those who turn away from that, then they are only harming their own selves and forbidding their own souls from the mercy and the goodness that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he was sent with. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Aftara Abu Sa'id hina ghaba qursu shams. Aftara Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu hina ghaba qursu shams. That Abu Sa'id, he will break his fast whenever the disk of the sun is gone. Whenever the disk of the sun disappears in entirety, meaning goes behind the horizon. So this is the time for breaking the fast. When is the time for breaking the fast? Whenever the disk of the sun, the top of it, goes beyond the horizon entirety. At this time, the Maghrib has entered. At this time, the Maghrib has entered. Even at this time, if the skies are clear, there'll still be light in the sky. There will still be light in the sky, and this light does not harm anything, and it does not prohibit from breaking the fast. Rather, what is the greatest sign in the coming of the nighttime and the ending of the fast is whenever the sun goes behind the horizon entirely. Behind the horizon entirely. It has been narrated from Amr ibn Maymun and Audi, rahimahullah, that he says, كَانَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَسْرَعَ النَّاسِ إِفْطَارًا وَأَبْطَأَهُمْ سُحُورًا. That the companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنهم, they were the fastest people. They were the quickest people in breaking the fast and the slowest people in taking the suhoor. Meaning that they would delay the suhoor to the last moments, just as is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would hasten to break the fast. And they would hasten to break the fast, just as is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum, is the best role model for us to follow. And in that, we will hasten in this manner to follow upon their footsteps. And this is the correct and the good deen. This is the correct and the good deen, that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions radiyallahu anhum. And from that is the issue of as-suhoor and al-iftar. And also, again, to emphasize, this is from the beauty of Islam and from the ease. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرُ. That Allah, He wants ease for you. He doesn't want to make it hard for you. So the intent from the fast is to not make it hard on the people. Rather, you need to complete the period. وَلِتُكْ مِنُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. Rather, to complete the period and to praise Allah and thank Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, for guiding one to Islam. So the suhoor is delayed to the last moment, so that would be a means of nourishment for him. And then likewise, the iftar is hastened at the earliest moments in order likewise to gain back that nourishment and that strength. So a person, he could continue healthy upon a good way. After this, the author, he says, An Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu, annahu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha akbala al-laylu min hahuna, وَأَدْبَرَ النَّهَارُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا فَقَدْ أَفْطَرَ الصَّائِمُ فَقَدْ أَفْطَرَ الصَّائِمُ. So the author, he mentioned now the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَكْبَلَ اللَّيْلُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا. If the night starts coming from here, يعني من جهة الشرق, meaning from the east, if the night starts coming from here and pointing to the east, وَأَدْبَرَ النَّهَارُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا يَعْنِي مَنْ جِهَةِ الْغَرْبِ, and the daytime is going away, meaning from the west, and there's فَقَدْ أَفْطَرَ الصَّائِمُ, then indeed the fasting person, he has come to the time of breaking his fast. Then the one who was fasting has entered the time for breaking his fast. This is the wording here mentioned in Umdat al-Ahkam. But in Sahih Bukhari, there's a word here, وَغَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسِ وَغَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسِ. And in the wording of Muslim, وَغَابَتِ الشَّمْسِ. And this is the same meaning. إِذَا أَكْبَرَ اللَّيْلُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا وَأَدْبَرَ النَّهَارُ مِنْ هَاهُنَا وَغَابَتِ الشَّمْسِ. So whenever the night is coming from here, and the daytime is going away from here, and the sun has set, or the sun has disappeared, then at this time, فَقَدْ أَفْطَرَ الصَّائِمِ, يعني فَقَدْ دَخَلَ وَقْت الْإِفْطَارِ. فَقَدْ دَخَلَ وَقْتْ الْإِفْطَارِ. That's what is intended. Then the fasting person has now entered into the time whenever it is allowed to break his fast. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned this narration. He says, بَابُ مَتَى يَحِلُّ فِطْرُ الصَّائِمِ. بَابُ مَتَى يَحِلُّ فِطْرُ الصَّائِمِ. When the chapter with regards to when it is allowed for the fasting person to break his fast. So this is the time. This is the time. And all of these three affairs here, they are the signs. There are the signs for the time for al-iftar. Whenever the darkness starts to come and the light starts to go away and the sun sets and goes behind the horizon. And they're all connected together. And the darkness will not start to come and the daylight will not start to go away except whenever the sun is setting and going behind the horizon. So the real sign, the main sign that is relied upon, is the fact that the sun goes behind the horizon. And along with that, when the sun goes behind the horizon, the darkness comes and the daylight, it goes away. But there are certain circumstances sometimes whenever there may be cloud cover or there may be something in the sky, whenever it may appear to be dark and the darkness is coming, it may appear that the darkness is coming but the sun has not set yet. So in the likes of these circumstances, a person, he has to verify and not hasten. So the darkness here is not because of the setting of the sun. The darkness here is because there's something blocking the light of the sun in the sky. So this time here, a person, he would have to be patient. And if he was relying upon the eyesight, as for us today, most of the time we're relying upon the time on the schedule. And whenever that time comes, a person, he will break his fast. He will not break his fast before that, and he will not delay after that. Rather, he would hasten and follow the sunnah. If a person who were fasting and he were traveling just before Maghrib, for example, in the airport, it's Maghrib time. He's in the airplane on the runway. And he breaks his fast. The time comes while he's in the airplane on the runway. And then he breaks his fast. And then the airplane takes off and gets in the sky, and then he sees the sun. What is the ruling for him? Now, would he have to make up that day, or would he have to start at imsak again until the sun sets, or what is his circumstance? We understand? Because he's on the ground. And on the ground, the time came for him. And then whenever he takes off and he starts traveling, he gets in the sky. Maybe especially if he's going into to the west, for example, maybe he will catch the sun. And he will go up and then he will see the sun actually not completely setting yet. And because now he's in a different circumstance and place. The people of Nadas, they say this is not considered. And he broke his fast, and at the proper time according to where he was at. And he fulfilled the obligation that was upon him. So therefore he will continue even if he sees the sun standing there in the sky. Standing there in the sky. As for if the person he were to, and he did not yet, it's almost Maghrib, he's in the airport, and then he takes off just before the iftar. He takes off just before, we'll say he takes off, for example, maybe five minutes before the iftar, or 10 minutes before the iftar. He's waiting to break his fast. And then the plane takes off, and then now he sees the sun. And for example, if he's traveling to the west and he's chasing the sun, the sunset is going to be delayed for him. So now it's not allowed for him to break his fast. Now it's not allowed for him to consider the time that he was in before, because now he's in the time now where the sun is still standing in the sky and it has not set yet. It has not set yet in his right. So therefore he will have to wait and delay until the sun sets, and he will continue even if some extra time was placed in his fast, because this is the reality that he's facing. And in his circumstance, the sun has not set yet, therefore it's not allowed for him to break his fast, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. After this, the author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الوصال قالوا إنك تواصل قال إني لست مثلكم إني أطعم وأسقى رواه أبو هريرة وعائشة وأنس بن مالك رضي الله عنهم. So now the author, he is mentioning the issue of al-wisal. The issue of al-wisal. Al-wisal is tatabu' al-sawm min ghayri iftar bil-layl. Tatabu' al-sawm, that he will continue fasting without breaking his fast. It's from al-wasal. يعني وصل الشيئين يعني وصل شيء بشيء آخر, when you connect something. So that's what this word means, to connect 2 days and nights together without ever breaking the fast. Huh? For example, he will maybe begin one day, maybe he has suhoor one day, and then he will fast all that day until iftar. He will not break his fast. And he will continue all the way to suhoor. He will not take suhoor. And he will fast a whole another day. This is called wisal. He would fast 2 days straight back to back without breaking his fast whatsoever. You understand? Like this, or more. This is called al-wisal. This is called al-wisal. To fast days consecutively, days and nights without breaking the fast. Not from water or not from food or anything. So here this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has forbidden al-wisal. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الوصال. And so at this time the companions, they said رضي الله عنهم إنك تواصل. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, but you do that. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade them from making wisal. But then they seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم doing that, and they said, but you do that. Meaning they want to follow him. That's why he prohibited them, because they want to follow him. But this is something that not everyone is capable of doing. And this is something that some of the people of knowledge has mentioned is from the khasais and the specific traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was strong in this manner. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him great provision, and he spiritually, that would carry him physically. He had been given great spiritual faith and strength in his heart and his mind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his faith and his relationship with Allah azza wa jalla, that would carry him and make him strong physically. And this is what he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever they said, إِنَّكَ تُوَاسُ, but you make the wisal. But you make the wisal, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, إِنِّي لَسْتُ مِثْلَكُمْ, in some wording, لَسْتُ كَهَيْئَتِكُمْ, I'm not like you. I'm not like you, and from this aspect, إِنِّي أُطْعَمُ وَأُسْقَى. إِنِّي أُطْعَمُ وَأُسْقَى. Verily, I am fed, and I am given drink. In some wordings, أَبِيتُ يُسْقِينُ رَبِّي. He said in some wording, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I spend the night, and my Lord provides for me provision, food and drink. food and drink. And so this is something that is specific with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author, he says, this has been narrated from Abu Huraira and from Aisha and from Anas radiallahu anhum also. So this is from the specific traits of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is intended by the fact that he is given provision of food and drink, not actual food and drink. Not actual food and drink. Had he been given actual food and drink at night time, then he would not be considered making wisal. He would not be considered any continuously fasting. But what is intended is the spiritual. It's a spiritual nourishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to where he had the ability and to fast consecutively in these days in this manner. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that whenever a person in general, whenever a person he is highly involved with something and devoted to something, and something that he loves and is engaged in, many times he'll forget to eat, or many times he'll forget to drink, or it will not bother him. And we look, for example, in the children. Sometimes the children, if you leave them, they'll play for hours and hours and hours, and they'll not think of food or drink. They'll not think of food or drink. As soon as you stop them, the first thing they say, "I'm hungry. I'm hungry." Likewise, somebody who is involved in something that is beloved to him. Sometimes, for example, the students, they will sit in classes for a long period of time, or they will go from one class to the next, and they'll forget. They'll forget lunch, or they'll forget dinner, or they'll not realize a need for water and the likes like this. They'll be preoccupied. And the likes. And other times, for example, somebody may be experiencing a great joy and happiness by meeting somebody or being in the company of somebody whom they love dearly or that they haven't seen in some time, until they'll be caught up in this happiness and joy and they'll forget about eating and drinking, and that hunger will not bother them whatsoever. So this is the case with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had great love, great sincere love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would be engaged in these affairs and he would not need the likes of the provision as the people would sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a favor of Allah for him, and this is a favor from Allah for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the author, he says, wa li muslimin an abi sa'idin al khudri radiyallahu anhu fa ayyukum arada an yuwasil falyuwasil ila as-sahr. And also in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned an exception here. So whoever of you wants to make the wisal, then let him make the wisal only to sahar. Only to sahar. So to make the wisal, a number of the people of knowledge mentioned that it's disliked. Others mentioned that it's haram. And if it's going to be something that a person, he's not able to bear that, and it's going to harm him, and the likes, will be a great difficulty for him, it will not be allowed for him. And if it's not any going to harm him in that manner, then it's disliked. And it's disliked. Some of the people have not as mentioned it could be allowed for somebody who is capable. But Allah knows best, the sunnah is better. And the goodness is to hasten to break the fast. So the point now is that it's allowed to make the wisal only to the sahar, to the time of suhoor of the next day. And that's the limit. Somebody who wanted to continue fasting, we would not say that it's an obligation for him to break his fast at Maghrib time, but it's recommended and it's better, but it will be allowed for him to continue all the way till the time of sahar, of the next morning. He would have to take the suhoor at this time and eat before the coming of the next day. Anything other than that would be considered the wisal that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbade. And likewise, in the wording of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-wisal rahmatan bihim," out of mercy for them. Out of mercy for them. So this was the mercy, again, of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of the legislation of Allah azza wa jal. So it's allowed. It's allowed for a person to fast from one morning all day long until the evening, and to continue without breaking his fast until the next morning, and this is the limit. Although it's not recommended to do that. What is recommended is to fast from the morning time, and from the coming of the Fajr, and from the Sahur time, until the Maghrib time, and to hasten to break the fast. And this is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he has encouraged, and this is what is recommended, and a believer he should hold fast to. And in reality, the night time is not a time for fasting. The night time is not a time for fasting. And this is what is clarified in those verses. فَكُولُوا وَاشْرَبُوا
حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل. So the fasting is completed at the time of whenever the night comes. So there's no need for a person to fast in this manner. It's allowed for him, but it's not preferred, nor is it recommended, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he's going to discuss the issues related to the virtuous fasting, meaning from the affairs of the non-obligatory fast and other issues related to that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.